Good evening. Hello, good evening and welcome. You're very welcome along to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening and we'd love to know your thoughts on a busy sporting weekend. Our text number is 083-311-3311. You can also get us on Twitter. Our Twitter feed is at TipFM Sport. You can WhatsApp us or text us to the same number, which is 083-311-3311. Later on tonight's show, we'll have a lot of people looking back on events in the stadium yesterday as Tipperary and Limerick drew, which keeps both teams alive and firing and in the Munster Championship. And Tipperary remain undefeated in this year's Munster Championship. We'll also look back on the football as well. Another disappointing day, I'm afraid, at the office for Tipperary in their defeat to Down. What I can tell you is that Tipperary's final pool game in Pool 2, Round 3 of the Tailteann Cup, will take place in Porkeycueve on Saturday the 3rd of June at 1 p.m. That's a curtain raiser for the Kerry Cork game, which will take place after it. So that had to be played at a neutral venue. You'd wonder why they're taking everyone from Waterford and Tipperary over to Cork. But anyway, I suppose you couldn't play it in Waterford, you couldn't play it in Tipperary, so where else are we going to play it? Maybe St Mollerans, that might have been an idea, but anyway, they didn't ask me. So Porkeycueve, Saturday the 3rd of June, 1 p.m. is where that game will take place. Or better still, they could have played it in the new Swan grounds there in Carrick and Shore. That might have been regarded as neutral. I know it's a Tipperary venue, but anyway, so be it. Our text number is 083-311-3311. Obviously, we're going to start with hurling tonight. Let's hear from Declan Laffin, who was the man given the media responsibilities in the under the old stand in Semple Stadium yesterday. He was there to answer questions on his thoughts after the draw game with Limerick.
Look, we're delighted, obviously, to come out with the draw. The engine, you know, kind of maybe felt it might slip away there for a minute or two, but we responded, got the score, got us over the line. But look, it was real proper Munster Championship hurling. Felt a bit like the old days, big crowd and, you know, a tremendous atmosphere, and looks just a wonderful occasion to be involved in. I think a feature of our games all year is we've kind of fallen asleep for little periods here and there at different stages, either coming into half-time or just after. But, you know, you'd have to be proud of the boys the way they reacted. We came back, I think we went 3 up again, and Limerick came back to 11, and it was kind of tit for tat then for the last 8-10 minutes, and you stuck up 6 minutes in the time and you're wondering what's going to happen. But look, we got there and we got the draw, so we're delighted. It's an emotional game, no different from myself when I'm on the line. So look, it's part of the game, and sometimes we just go over the top, we don't mean to, but it's just sport. Yeah, look, it'd be great to get to a Munster final, obviously first year of, you know, with this group of players and management. You know, it's a big challenge. We're not going to take that for granted. Of course, that, having said that, you know, I'd like to thank the Tip public today. They really came out and supported us and asked them to come again next week in their big numbers and, you know, really drive on this team. I think they're showing they deserve the support.
Can I ask about Conor Bowe's impact off the bench? He was one of the keys off the bench.
Yeah, he was tremendous. I think he hit 3 points. He probably came out and lighted around the middle of the park, maybe not an area of the pitch that you'd expect him to. And, you know, picked off a couple of lovely points and had a huge bearing on it. You know, maybe at a time when we were struggling, he kept us in and kept us, you know, ticking ahead.
Can I ask you about the mood of the dressing room in there? What's the lads' kind of mood after that? Are they happy, sad, or in between somewhere?
Gosh, look, you know, maybe should have won it, could have lost it. So, look, we're happy. We're still undefeated in Munster. I think we're the only ones still undefeated, so we'll take that.
Can I ask, before the game, were you aware of the Cork Clare result? Was that something you were keeping an eye on or trying to avoid? Or
no, we were aware of it, but it wasn't something. I think somebody said it to me as I sat down just at the match start. But other than that, it wasn't something we were following. It didn't really bother us or come into our thought process. I thought, obviously, Dan McCormick done brilliant on Gerard Hegarty, Brian O'Meara, Keane Lynch, the inside back line. I think pretty much all of them worked, to be fair. Look, today it works, another day they mightn't. Tuck balls, steel, stand up there after the last day, and you know, kudos to him, fair play to him. You know, I'm really proud of him, and tremendous for him personally, I think.
That's Declan Laffin answering questions from Paul Carroll from Tip FM, and just referencing John McGrath at the end and how pleased, as a fellow Loughmore, like Castellani man, he was for John to be able to slot that point in difficult conditions. It was really greasy at the time, I have to say, so I wouldn't swap places with John McGrath at 6:15 yesterday evening, let me tell you. Anyway, let's hear from Ken Hogan, who was our match analyst yesterday. How are you, Ken?
Hi, Rowan.
My voice is a little on the creaky side. I spent most of yesterday afternoon shouting at the referee, but I was only doing what Liam Kyle asked me to do, so I bear no apologies for that. Your thoughts on full-time? I think I asked you after the Cork game whether it was a point gained or a point lost. I don't know if that's actually the question I need to ask you tonight. I think what's more important is we didn't allow Limerick do a number on us, which I think is perhaps the most important thing from yesterday.
Yeah, so important. Huge build-up to the game. I felt after the Waugh Clare Cork result, I felt Clare winning, there was a bit of relief meeting Limerick people going into the match, and the media people upstairs from Limerick, they felt a little bit of relief, and I suppose it took a little bit of pressure off the Limerick team yesterday as well. Cork had a huge chance, obviously, to win in Ennis, were disappointed. So from our point of view, I think it just goes to show you how prepared this Tipperary team is, in the fact that they weren't fazed by any results yesterday, whether it was for any team. They came out all guns blazing. I think it was a really tough, hard, intense game. Huge atmosphere, which some of these players would never have experienced before. I think they came out with flying colours. It will stand to them in the future. I think they were put to the pin of the collar a couple of times, still managed to bounce back. There's character in the team, there's drive in the team, there's physicality. But the one thing we didn't do yesterday was we didn't lie down under the Limerick onslaught. We held strong.
I mean, at halftime, you know, everyone around me was making the same point, like, you know what's coming. Now, knowing what's coming and being able to do something about it are two entirely different things, because we saw what happened in the 2020 Munster final. We saw what happened in the league semi-final this year. Immediately at the start of halftime, Limerick came with a purple patch and they scored four unanswered points. But the very fact that we knew that was coming and responded a little bit to it, I think, was testament to how prepared the team were, which I think goes to your earlier point.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, because the pressure does come on when the momentum swings, as you see in any sport, like Leinster on Saturday, when the momentum swings against you, it's very hard to hold out, but we stood strong. Our back line were absolutely unbelievable, I felt. There was a couple of goal opportunities early on. Gillan got a ball, he tried to turn Mikey Breen. That happened again before half-time. Breen held him out very strongly. There was points scored, but definitely there was going to be no soft situations where players were beaten and goals were scored. So Limerick's route to goals was closed off in a sense. I felt that overall the game management from Tipperary was very good. The influence of the people coming into the game also paid dividends. I think the Barry Nash influence was stifled by Bonner Maher, because Bonner was able to match him stride for stride and put him backwards instead of the other way around. And also, of course, the Limerick, the usual Limerick axis of half-forward line, half-back line launching pad, they were curtailed really by the half-forward line of Tipperary, who worked very, very strongly, particularly Noel McGrath, had Burns all over the pitch, testing him in every sense of the game.
If I had said to you last Monday night that Garrod Hegarty would be pretty much anonymous, Keane Lynch would be subbed for being rather ineffectual, that Aaron Gillan from open play would be largely ineffectual, I think you'd probably have questioned my hurling analysis.
Yeah, well, you see, Limerick are still a force. Let's face it, I would still fancy them to be in the closing stages of the championship. I think they still have a fair idea of what they're about. They have two players that are out of form, namely Garrod and Keane Lynch. But overall, their introduction of Peter Casey, Graham Mulcahy, Dave Reedy and Co, paid dividends for them. They're staying with the established crew, Ronan, which means that we haven't seen Colin Coughlin, Adam English, you know, these guys that have been, you know, heralded as future stars in Limerick. So I think really, from our perspective, we have got to be ready for another big battle next weekend. And we've got this probably turn our talk to next Sunday.
Yeah. It's a very interesting statistic that Limerick led for a total of 4 minutes in that match yesterday. Now, obviously, that doesn't matter much if you're in the lead when the full-time whistle is blown. It doesn't matter how many minutes you were in the lead for. But maybe when you look at that statistic, you might wonder whether it was a game that Tip could easily have won.
Yeah, we could have won it. I feel that we were well capable of winning it. I know we're, you know, delighted with to get a result. The importance of the pint in Cork also comes into the play. So I think it gives us a huge opportunity, a huge incentive to get to a Munster final next weekend.
Yeah, 7 years since we won a Munster title, and it would show the progress made in a relatively short period of time. Like Munster, we were so far off a Munster final last year, we're 70 minutes away from a Munster final this year.
Yeah, and we were unfancied really coming into this championship by the pundits. All the experts said, you know, they were looking at probably Cork, Clare, Limerick. It's a fantastic bit of progress from our point of view. We're not yet qualified, and I'd like to, you know, put that out there tonight that we have got to concentrate totally now on a huge game next weekend. Walter has nothing to lose. David Fitzgerald has everything to lose himself. But from our point of view, we have got to go into that game with big support. It's going to be a strange atmosphere in Tipperary because there probably won't be more than 20,000 at Ronan. We had a full house yesterday. So we've got to adapt to those circumstances. But Clare, or Waterford, in their scenario, have nothing to lose. They have a pint to prove to the country, to the hurling public. They've been insulted high up, low down. Their character has been questioned. So from our perspective, we have got to be on full, you know, alert.
Do you think as well,
the same performance we've had up to now?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that the Waterford players perhaps want to show Liam Cahill something that he didn't see from them last year? I mean, you could argue, and this goes to the heart of the criticism that's been levied at the Waterford players, that there was a sense of downing tools on Liam Cahill yesterday, particularly against Limerick, I thought. Last year. And maybe the Waterford players are going to be somewhat motivated by that. So your point, I think, is that it's not a gimme next Sunday, and there's a number of factors that could play into it.
And without a shadow of a doubt, this is Waterford's third game in Turles this in a number of weeks, so they're well used to the surroundings. But Liam Cahill, from Liam's point of view and from Mikey Beavan's point of view, obviously Waterford is history. But from their point of view, they feel obviously they have a pint to prove. I think Davey obviously will be highly motivated and hugely motivated against Tipperary. Remember, we played Waterford before, sort of in a when they had a dead rubber game as well in 2018, the famous Austin Gleeson goal situation that put us out of the championship as well, where we got a draw, but it wasn't enough. So we're well aware that Waterford, well, if they get their tails up and come flying into a game, they're a threat to anybody in the country. It's only 2 years ago since they're in an All-Ireland final, Ronan. So they have huge ability in the ranks. It's a question of their attitude and how they're going to address themselves for this game. So I would I really put everybody on alert that this game is not a gimme. It's going to be a really tough championship game, where we've got to get a result to qualify for Munster Championship and ultimately get through to the All-Ireland Series.
Last question is on Rhys Shelley's puckouts. A lot to like about that for a young fella who was making his championship debut.
Yeah, I think it was very important for Rhys to get off to a good start, a clean sheet in your first championship game. Fine man, excellent puckouts. Some worked, some didn't work. That goes with the territory for every goalkeeper, including Nicky Quaid. But the key components of all this is that he came out with flying colours, scored an outstanding pint from a long range, unlucky with one or two more. And I think, obviously, if I was management, I would be keeping faith in him. I think it was a big decision, and Rhys justified his inclusion. So overall, the influx of new players into the team has paid dividends, and you'd have to applaud the Tip management, you know, for taking the trust and taking the risk of using these players. It has paid off. And bringing Johnny Ryan and Sean Ryan in as well with 5 minutes to go just goes to show you they have great faith in the new people that are involved in the system.
Conor Bowe as well, of course. Yeah, look, Ken, really good talking to you. I know we'll be talking next Monday night. So what about Munster Championship has been so far, and there's another chapter to be written. So thanks for your time.
Please God, A1 Ryan.
Thanks. We'll talk soon, Ken. Thanks indeed for that. So many texts coming in. A few balls at the end that were lost cost us the game, but we were incredible, says one texter. Paddy Stapleton's on the line. How are you, Paddy?
Too bad, Ronan. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, the voice ain't great, but that's par for the course after a Munster Championship match in Thurles. But I got to ask about, you know, the dust settles, you get an opportunity to watch the game back, which I haven't. I have to admit, I've only seen it live in the stadium, so I haven't really been able to. I didn't even see Sunday game, so I'm a bit behind the curveball on this. Your thoughts when the dust settled and you maybe got a chance to watch it back?
Yeah, I got most of it actually there after work. I think you just have to say they're really getting to a level. I've just been able to compete extremely well, like, you know, and I think probably 19 is the last time where you could say, right, fitness wise, spirit wise, you know, tactics wise, we're checking a lot of the boxes. And, you know, even looking at that match yesterday, you know, I know a lot of commentators saying, you know, Tipperary were the better team, maybe marginally the better team, maybe. But I just think they have such capacity to work their backside off now. Even some of the players are in the middle. They had good games. Mightn't have been on the ball much, but like I always talk about, the ability to chase Harry, make it difficult for Limerick was evident there, and they have some work done. Like, it's very, very obvious.
I think that's a really important point, because I didn't really see a lot of Dan, but because I wasn't seeing a lot of Garrod Hegarty was because of the work Dan was doing. Like, that's just one case in point. I'm not just picking out your clubmate, but it does go to the heart of your point in relation to what work he was doing.
It's options. If you have to be so tight, and, you know, I've spoken to Dan about that before, just playing Limerick, having, you know, been 1 yard off him is too much, because they'll still go and try and pick each other out. So, you know, I could say Owen Connolly had a very steady debut. Why? Because he wasn't left trailing behind his men. There was always a chase back. We've given a few years, you know, just in terms of how powerful Limerick are. They play every team, and they just seem to have an overlap and be galloping away. And just the work that has to go into that to get the body to that level. You know, you could look at Alan Tyne and say, God, wasn't his day, didn't get on the ball. But covering space, making sure Kyle Hayes isn't gone. Seamus Kennedy, again, wasn't on as much ball. But he's there, he's in position. He's making sure it's not going to be an easy ball for the Limerick guys to come out with. And I think that's your starting point always, if you want a team that's going to challenge. And I still think there's lots of work. I still think you might see the best of the team for another year or two even. But in terms of competing this year, yeah, they're in the frame. They have to go out against Waterford the next day, which is maybe mentally the hardest game now. 1 week later, everybody's talking you up. Maybe missing Barrett, maybe Cahill not on the sideline after a ban. And it's going to be a difficult one. But you can't help but be happy where they're going. They looked very, very solid all throughout the game. The hooks and blocks were, you know, probably haven't seen in a few years, the amount of last ditch ones. But against Limerick, you have to do that. That's how good they are.
Yeah, that's the DNA for it. Yeah, I got to ask you, a lot of talk in the build-up to the game is the fact we chipped 7 goals in the 2 games prior. No goals conceded yesterday, and I can't really think of a clear goal-scoring opportunity that Limerick carved out, or certainly Rhys didn't have to make a save that I can remember. Was that tantamount to a system success in relation to how we set up defensively?
I think it was. I think obviously the system is working well, because first of all, if your system isn't going well, you leave yourself too exposed, even if there's good players around. But I always felt we were getting bodies back in towards the D, in towards that 21-yard line. Really, that's the start of it. If you can't get bodies in around there and suffocate it, which Limerick do really well. If you see against Limerick, we were nearly getting through a couple of times, Bonner in the first half, a couple of times, but they were never actually going to be goal opportunities. Even Jake Morris's, you know, the poor decision by the referee, it was probably not going to be a goal chance, because they had guys chasing back. And we're doing very, very well at that. But as I said earlier, you can want to chase back with the best will in the world, but if you don't have the work put in and you don't have the expertise on the S&C side of things, then it's not going to happen. But again, back to your point, is it a system thing? Yes, it is a system thing as well. Well, because you're always getting the body back in, you're always chasing the runners. You said you mightn't see Owen Connolly, you mightn't see Dan, but they're obviously hand on their man, because usually the wing forwards, the half forwards, the midfielders for Limerick are always an option as they go forward. So that's very, very encouraging, because it wasn't good concessions last day. It wasn't make sure you protect your D, and that's one of the real linchpins in when you're trying to avoid conceding goals.
I think, you know, you talk about a very strong line for Limerick. I think their half back line is as good as I've seen across there with Hayes, Byrne and Hannon. Really, really good hurlers. But they were under so much pressure, I think, from our half hours that Tom Morris had to go back and do an awful lot of work for them, which I think goes again to the workload and the questions we were putting in Limerick heads.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, they were winning a certain amount of ball. I just, those hurlers, like, you know, that you went through there, they're big, strong, physical, confident men. They've been there before. They back themselves against anyone. So they will win a certain amount of ball, but the amount of flicks, hooks, just making a team feel uncomfortable. And the one little tactical thing is that to tip players, pick good times to go in and go in bunches. Like, sometimes you want them to run into every tackle, but they're running into a guy who's just going to turn away and pop it and actually open you up in your own midfield area. So I thought the last, you know, yesterday, that at times they step back off and one ghosted with the man, and then they pick the right time to push up and two and three get in there. And look, I think we got a bit of luck as well. We made them feel uncomfortable, but even I felt at times they were making errors just based on previous pressure that the tip guys had put on them. So I think they're feeling the strain themselves, Limerick, but our midfield and half hour line. And it's not a case of saying one guy can shut down another guy at Intercounty anymore. You can't do that. It's a group against the group, and our group, you know, we're like terriers around after Limerick lads, and made it, you know, had shown everyone how uncomfortable they can make it for them.
I think as well, when I saw the team selection on Friday morning, that it struck me as a horses for courses team selection, that it was picked very much with Limerick in mind, and with that sort of sense of squad rotation, which is probably a term I've borrowed from England, but it suggests that we'll see quite a different setup, I would imagine, against Waterford.
I'd say it could, and as you said, rotation is key and energy is key, and I think next week you'll need more energy again, because against Waterford, I think if we give them a sniff in terms of that we're weak or that we're not up to it, they could sense an opportunity and get one over on Tip and Liam Cahill and whoever else that's there. You know, they might have something against in terms of having David Hitz over him as well, and just whatever grudges are there, you know, we don't know, but there seems to be something. So you don't want to give them that. But you want energy starting the game. And as you said yesterday, I thought that, like, when we played Limerick before, we might go in at half-time in a good position or pretty even position and find it difficult to maintain the energy after the break. I think he picked a few legs the last day, and I often talked about it with you. Owen Connolly was picked. Bonner, I know he's older, but his legs in that first half, he's an aggressive man. And I think, you know, Liam Cahill felt we need energy, we need lots of aggression. And he also left a couple of guys on the line that can come in, like Shamie Callanan coming in, experience, strength, Bo coming in, he's very, very explosive. So he did leave guys there on the sideline that could come in and make a difference after. So, but that's one more thing he's after building. We have a squad there that didn't seem to be as full as it is, and now it feels like we can trust in four or five more players that we didn't know before the start of the year.
Yeah, no, lots of the like, and still a work in progress as well. Paddy, it's good talking to you. I'll talk to you on Monday night.
Cheers, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. Okay. That's Paddy Stapleton joining us there. My thanks to him. Let's take a commercial break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Extra Time on Tip FM, brought to you by Lahart Skoda, the new name for Skoda in County Tipperary.
Check out lahart.ie for their latest offers.
If you have a nomination for the May Sports Tip FM Sports Star of the Month, just send it to sportstar@tipfm.com. That's sportstar@tipfm.com. Bang off an email to us and we'll have a look at it and see who the most worthy winner is. Previous winners, obviously, have been around the website, and you can see who has won it last year. Overall, I think Rachel won it. Rachel Blackmore won it last year. Lots of really, really talented young Tipperary athletes nominated. And if you have a nomination for November, for May, I should say, in association with Talbot Hotel, then let us know by email. County Board Chairman Joe Kennedy's on the line. Good evening to you, Joe.
Good evening, Ron.
We're both old enough to remember the good old days of knockout hurling in a full Semple Stadium. Sorry now to put you in my age bracket. But
I think we're in the same age bracket. I think we are. Yeah,
but it really was a throwback to the good old days, I felt. The atmosphere, well, the square, two terraces pretty full. Great stuff.
Yeah. I came through the square there just prior to the football match, and it's great to see hordes of Tipperary people heading towards Semple Stadium, and just fantastic to see that crowd there again yesterday. And I know Limerick travelled in big numbers, but I think we matched them there yesterday or near enough to, and I hope next week that all those people had returned to the stadium, because they're certainly, when the fat was in the fire yesterday, they were a big help to the team and in support. So I think all that support and more is needed again next week to get over the line. Paddy.
After the Cork game, I think Liam specifically came out with a call to arms to the Tipperary supporters, and I don't know if he was disappointed, but he felt that the support in the park could have been better. And I think the Tipperary public responded to that call to arms, and I get the feeling that perhaps you're issuing another one for the Waterford game.
Yeah, well, I would, yeah, because I'm glad to hear the your correspondence there, issuing warnings about next week, and, you know, there's a... maybe a general feeling there among hurling public outside the Tipperary that next week is a foregone conclusion, but it's certainly not. And, you know, and as I said, no support in the stands is vital, and the team feeds off that support too. So I just urge people to get to the stadium. There's plenty of tickets on Ticketmaster and in the centre and Super Value, and like there's tickets in the office to go to clubs there as well. So there's still plenty of tickets available, so I'd urge as many as possible to come and support the team, because given what we've seen so far this year, they deserve our support, and they're putting in a massive effort, and anything we can do to get them over the line, we should help them any way we can.
I understand the reasons for it, but both the Waterford Tip game and the Cork Limerick game are throwing in at the same time to ensure that there isn't, you know, that everyone yes, I can understand why they do it, but just for those of us who love watching the matches live, it does pose a difficulty.
It does pose a difficulty, and you know, and even when you've been to the stadium now next Sunday, trying to even follow the other one on the phone, you mightn't have internet coverage, or there's too many lads on the phone at one time, so it's very difficult to keep an eye on it. But I suppose, you know, and certainly this year with the competitive nature of the Munster Championship, it's vital, I suppose, the two games throw in at the same time, because, you know, if we knew that the results of the Cork Limerick match, you know, we might be able to relax a little bit more.
Filter down, yeah, so you want to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah.
A lot of texts coming in relation to injuries. I know that Cahill might have some sort of return to play protocol, I don't know what it's called, but have you any insight into that over the course of the last 24 hours?
I think in fairness to both the doctors and the physios, the great work there yesterday. So look, there's lads nursing bits and pieces of knock. So I think it's more precautionary than anything else with Cahill yesterday. And I'd say, you know, they'll assess those things in training now tomorrow night. And, you know, there might be a few niggles. And until the stress test people, as the week goes on, they won't be 100% sure. But I'd say we'd be near enough to have full deck again for next week.
Which is exactly where we want to be, particularly because, you know, this is the first time we're going into a match with only a 7-day turnaround. Every other team has had to do it, so we're no different to them.
Yeah.
But when you see the ferocity of the physical nature of modern day hurling, you wonder how amateur players turn that around in a 7-day period.
Yeah.
But that's testament to the S&C guys.
It is. I'm privileged enough to be able to go into the dressing room after that, and after all three matches, you know, you just see the players who play there, and they're just spent really from the exertions that they've had in the pitch. So, like, to try and turn that around again and play 7 days later is a huge thing. But look, as previous speakers have said, they've done great work this year and stood up to all those tests so far. So, hoping that the boys will be able to work their magic during the week, and we'll get a huge performance again next week, and hopefully get us over the line, certainly into an All-Ireland, into the All-Ireland series, and better again maybe into a Munster final.
Absolutely, but look, those tickets are still available, lots of tickets available. They're available on Ticketmaster and also in Centra outlets. At the moment, the two stands still have availability. I don't know whether... is it going to be just the town end or both ends open? That'll be determined, I would imagine, as the week goes on. But you're encouraging as many Tipperary people to get themselves into Turlough for 4 o'clock next Saturday. Next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, most certainly, Ron. And we hope to see a big following there. And hopefully we get over the line and we'll have a Munster final to look forward to later in a fortnight later.
Well, hopefully my voice will be back by then, Joe.
Yeah, hopefully. Likewise.
Take care, Joe. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
Thanks indeed. That's County Board Chairman Joe Kennedy. Tickets, I think it's reasonable, because Ken was the first to sound a note of caution in relation to the Waterford match next week, and followed up by Paddy and Ken and Joe then as well. So I see the point they're making that, you know, foregone conclusions, particularly in Munster hurling, are the rock you perish on. James Woodlock, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Now we're on yourself.
Yeah, good. A big pep in our step. I mean, when you think about where Tipperary senior hurling was this time last year, the fact that we're even entertaining a discussion about a possible Munster final, it just shows the progress has come perhaps more rapidly than some of us expected.
I suppose. You know, we're probably a little bit in the wilderness last year for all sorts of reasons. And this year, look, we have a team to follow now, which is huge. And probably it has to be expected to run for the simple reason is knowing this Manson's team pedigree down through the years. They turn up, their teams turn up, and they perform. The matchup's really right again yesterday. And that's what the Tip public want, the hunting, the hurrying, the chasing. That was all evident yesterday. You know, two really, really good teams went at it yesterday. And, you know, fantastic achievement for ourselves, unbeaten in Munster. And I think the panel's getting stronger every day. You know, the players that are putting their hands up either in training or coming on and contributing are now getting their start. You know, so that all bodes well really for the panel then. It gets stronger all the time, because every time you go into training, you've got to be the best you can be. And, you know, because everyone wants to be on these panels and want Hurling Senior for Tip to play, you know, so that's when they're in there, that's their opportunity to go and do it, you know. So, look, really good atmosphere around Hurling yesterday, Ronan, and then coming out, everyone in great spirits, the crowd got on really well together. It was fantastic for the youngsters that went yesterday, because they've been talking about that for years to come. Brilliant spectacle all over, great scores. And look, hopefully a long summer ahead, I think, for this team.
Is there any one thing that particularly impressed you? I know you've picked out the matchups that Liam got right, and the fact that we kept some of their star players quiet and almost anonymous. And it was only when Gerard Hegarty was being taken off that I suddenly realised I hadn't seen much of him, which I think, you know, goes a long way to pay tribute to not only Liam's tactics but also the work that Dan had done. But there was others involved in that, not just him.
Yeah, there was, but the way Dan went about his business, you know, he was just phenomenal from the word go on Hegarty. And, you know, you can give players jobs on at the end of the day, but they have to be able to carry him through, you know, and you've got to trust them. And Liam does. The players obviously trust Liam too, because, like, I couldn't see daylight for long periods between Dan and Garros, but that was his job. He did it magnificently. But so did others. So you can go from Cahill Barrett doing his and so on. But, look, you said is there one thing that would set everything apart for me? And, well, the work rate is just—it's through the roof, number one. But the movement then is phenomenal, because we pulled and dragged Limerick all over the field yesterday, all over the field. So that is number two, and the third one for me is when he looks around and if management brings somebody on, they are contributing. You know your finishers then coming off the bench, and they are three massive aspects: the work rate, a really quality panel of players that are doing the Tipperary jersey proud run, really, really proud. And then, obviously, you know, you give players jobs to do and they're going and doing it, you know, which is really, really good.
As a manager yourself, do you see a banana skin in the fact that we're going into a game against Waterford where nobody really gives us a chance? And, like, let's face it, nobody really gave Westmeath the chance against Wexford yesterday, and nobody really gave Westmeath the chance at half time, and I think they trailed by 17 points or something against Wexford yesterday. But it does show you what a great Munster Championship we've had so far this year, that we are forced to strike a cautionary note in tonight's game.
Look, there is no comparison, you know, between Leinster Hurling and Munster Hurling, and nobody else will tell me otherwise, number one. Number two, Ron, there is no banana skin this Sunday in Thurles, because Waterford will come with everything they have for loads of reasons. And, you know, you spoke about some of them, and Liam, on the other hand, will be going with his reason against Waterford, and that is for us to get into a Munster final, and nothing more, nothing less will do. So we will have to be at a tougher game again on Sunday. It's not a banana skin, because our eyes are open to it. We win, go straight into a Munster final, and that's what we want, because, you know, winning is contagious, and so is confidence, and we have both at the moment. We want to keep going that way. And I know other people, I didn't hear all the show they're on, but I'm sure other people are saying the same thing I was saying last week. Everybody get the Thurles, because when the game was in the melting pot yesterday, its supporters were unbelievable, were excellent, stood up, roar the team on in a positive way all the time, and it does help from a management point of view. When you can hear them roar in the background, they're willing the team on, and the players can hear it, and they feed off that, and it's huge. So everybody again gets to play. It's a great day out, number one, but the team are giving us everything to shout about, and a real good team to follow. All the real values that are instilled in pit teams down through the years are all there to be seen again. So going to Turles on Sunday, and it's a big game. It's going to be a huge game. You know, we're fighting to get into the Munster final. They're fighting for their pride as well to put something back into the jersey. So it'll be a helpful letter from the World Go again. And look, Liam has made changes even after winning championship games. So everyone is anticipating again on Friday night or Thursday night, what will the team be again? Because nobody actually knows. You know, you can guess maybe 10, 11 players, and then again, other players could get their opportunity again. So it's going really well. And again, the big carrot means that there's a panel of players there, and we're getting stronger with every game and getting better with every game.
Always a pleasure, James. Thanks for your time this evening.
Thanks for being here, Ronan.
Take
bye
care. That's James Woodlock, our minor manager, former midfielder, an All-Ireland winner with Tip. Let's take a break. Back in a minute.
Extra Time on Tip FM, brought to you by Laharte Skoda, the new name for Skoda in County Tipperary.
Check out laharte.ie for their latest offers.
Extra Time on Tip FM, brought to you by Laharte Skoda, the new name for Skoda in County Tipperary.
Check out laharte.ie for their latest offers.
Let's finish up our hurling analysis with a word with JJ Kennedy. Good evening to you, JJ.
Hi, Ronan.
Your thoughts after yesterday?
Sure, very, very similar to previous speakers. You know, great game, great performance. Huge amounts to admire about it. I was looking at, somebody put up statistics about the hooks, blocks and tackles and so on. And I think the figures, and I don't know how accurate these are, but it was 117 they put up for Tipperary and 109 or something like that for Limerick. Which, you know, doesn't seem a huge advantage, but it's if you look back over with Limerick over the last 6 years, I doubt if too many teams ever surpassed them in those stats, because that's, of course, one of their trademarks, that they, you know, they do that so well. So it would have corresponded with our one's impression of the game yesterday. It was just phenomenal, the effort that was put in. And the whole, I thought, you know, the whole improvement at the defensive end, and credit to Liam Cahill for that. I mean, we'd mentioned this in the past, and I'd certainly written about it, about the problems in defence, and by God, he addressed them. And I guess it's been a hallmark of Liam Cahill as a manager back even in the underage years, that if there was a problem, he one of the things I admire about him, he has the courage, he goes for it, and he makes the changes. And it was a phenomenal defensive performance yesterday, I thought. You know, people were looking and mentioning maybe what you might call half chances, and there were no better, maybe even quarter chances of goals that Limerick had. Maybe the Garrod Hegarty one in the second half. But he's actually looked back at four defenders back between Hegarty and the goal at that stage, and that's probably what wasn't happening in some of the earlier matches. So the whole system they'd set up was much better on this occasion, and they really got to grips with that area. And of course, Rhys Shelley coming in was huge, a huge performance as well for the goalie. So, you know, learning from game to game, improving, and matching the best in the country yesterday, and huge performance and fantastic points to win, and puts us in a really good place now.
Remind you of the old days, wouldn't it? You know, the atmosphere, the crowd, the kind of sense of a knockout game, even though it ended in a draw. But that aside, you're looking forward to the Waterford game, and I'm not going to go over the warnings that have been issued in relation to that. But in terms of team selection, what we see from Liam is a very much a horses for courses team selection, and he'll know that Waterford team as good as anybody. So I would expect some significant changes.
Yeah, but it has proved virtually impossible all year to anticipate what changes Liam Cahill and the management team make. I think that surprised us in almost every selection that he's put out, and he never puts out the same team any 2 days. There's always at least one or two changes, and of course, there were four changes yesterday. And you've got to add into that mix then, you know, doubts about whether Cathal Barrett will be fit and ready or not, or other people that have been injured or maybe had knocks yesterday, how well they'll come on. So that's very much up in the air. But you can anticipate certainly that on past experience, he's going to have a different 15 out.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So, look, we've a lot to digest next week as well, JJ. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thanks, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. That's JJ Kennedy. Let's just turn our attention to football for a moment, because Tipperary were defeated by Down yesterday in a very, has to be said, disappointing game of football. It really didn't set the pulse racing at any point in that game, which was disappointing considering that the crowd were trickling in throughout. We had a quick word with David Power after that game. I began by asking him whether or not Kevin Fahey was the designated penalty taker for Tipperary.
No, Kevin Fahey has been the designated penalty taker all year, and he's at practice. He's probably the best penalty taker, and it's one of those things. And to be honest with you, when he missed that penalty, I was just saying that just really kind of nearly summarises our season, to be honest with you. And that's the way it's, unfortunately, that's the way it's after going. It's a huge turning point. It was like last weekend up in Meath, if Stephen Clare got that goal, we'd have backed down to a point. But that's our problem all year. We're not getting the scores at the vital times where a game can swing, and that's been our problem all year. We're just not getting that crucial score at that crucial time that can push us on, and then when we're low in confidence, it just sucks the living energy out of you, and then when the opposition goes down and score, so it's just very, very hard to take. To be fair to the players, I see it every night. We have full attendance of training. They're giving a huge effort, and it's just not working. It's just not working this year, and that's the way it is. Look, I've said it just in there, whatever happens, we have to finish with a win, and I don't think the win will be good enough in terms of progressing into the Tailteann Cup knockout stages, but at the very least now we have to finish with a win.
That's David speaking to us after the game. Now, there's a very interesting incident in that game where Mark Russell caught a ball directly from a long kick out from Michael O'Reilly, which is a mark. The referee blew his whistle to award a mark and then reversed his decision because Mark Russell didn't raise his arm to indicate that he was taking a mark. It was the most peculiar thing I'd seen on a football pitch for quite a while, and I have to say infuriating as well. Here's David's take on it.
Wins the ball, the referee says he should have put up his hand, but how can you put up your hand if the downfield is all over him? Anyway, it's just all those bits and pieces has been happening nearly every game this year, and it's very, very frustrating. And I'm not standing here making excuses, but it's very, very frustrating. And there are different things that have went against us all year, and there was a couple of things out there today, in my eyes, would just summarise our season in one game there today, and that was it. Missing crucial scores at crucial times. And like, they were there. That's the frustrating thing about it. If we got that penalty, if we got a couple of other points, we wouldn't be beat. And that's another thing. They want 17, 18 points better than us, but look, that's the way the game went on us. Neutral venue against Waterford, and look, we must just finish with a win there. And as I said, unless other teams get well bet in other groups and we put up a massive score against Waterford, it's not looking good at this moment in time for us, but at the very least we must just target us, finish with a win.
Let's get more on the football match. Tom McGrath is on the line. Hey Tom.
Good, Ronan.
That was a hard game to watch, I think, for a lot of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty. After a bright opening, the disappointment just fizzled out totally. Like, and you know, like, you feel for David there. Like, you know, it's been a tough year for them. And the Mark Russell thing, the penalty and the Mark Russell thing were two definings. The score is 11 points to 5. We got the penalty. Score the penalty, it was 11-8, and a boost and a bit of, you know, and the crowd was coming in at that stage, and both the Limerick and Tipperary crowd would warm to a goal, and they'd warm to a contest, and they'd start cheering for the, you get support, you get a boost, you get all that. But no, the Mark Russell thing, I mean, Mark couldn't, but that's coming into the GA now, into the football at this stage. Fellas getting the mark, and then there's a little bit of a tangle that they can't put their hand up. I mean, David is right. Correct decision was cancel the mark, bring the free forward for interference, not allowing the player to do the thing. But instead of that, an insult to injury, what happened, like, is Down got the free, brought and scored a goal.
They did, absolutely. It was a huge turning point.
You know, it was that sort of them two things, like, I mean, scored a penalty and that not happen. I mean, that's 6 points. But yeah. No, there was more to it than that. I mean, like, you'd admire the lads for, you know, their resilience and their energy and their work rate and all that was good, but just, you know, the structures, there's not enough cohesiveness in it, to my liking. Now, I think our our breaking with the ball has improved a bit. We're moving the ball a bit quicker now from backs to forwards, but we're not getting enough of it forward. Like, that's the unfortunate thing. But I suppose then if you're having more ball, like, it would take more to transition the ball forward. But look, it hasn't been easy. But like, the important thing at this stage is that you kind of dig in and finish with a win against Watford. And like, look, that's now in Cork, and you know there'll be a bit of a crowd down there as well. Like, and okay, 1 o'clock on a Saturday, like, you know, there's not going to be too much of a crowd there to start it, like, but there will be for a finish. And dig in a bit of I suppose self-esteem, a bit of pride in the performance. This is, remember Kieran Fitzgerald with the rugby team once, says, where's your pride? Yeah. I'd be saying that to the footballers this day. A bit of pride now, finish the thing out and see what it does for you, because you don't know. There's other teams in not so good situation in the Tailteann Cup. They've probably thrown their hat in a little bit at this stage too. So, you know, what happens in the last round, important thing for Tipperary is beat Watford, get your 2 points, work on your score difference then, but the important thing is you win the match first. A bit like the hurlers, they've got to do their own business as well. But footballers, win their match, score difference is secondary, but win your match, that's good for morale. Work on your score difference after that and see where it takes you. That's okay. All you can do.
There's very little really analysis we can do in that match, because there was it's just, you know, I don't think the scoreline reflected the gulf between teams, but we made Down look better than they probably were.
No, but I suppose, Ron, if you there'd be other games and they'd have statistics, possession stats and all that type of stuff. We'd have had a fair bit of, I'm not a real fan of that sort of stuff, like, but we had a lot of possession, only that we said we weren't as clinical with the possession as Down were. I mean, Down took nearly quarter of an hour to get a score from play. Like, I mean, we started well, a couple of points in front.
And yeah, but then we didn't score for 25 minutes. Like.
30 minutes.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, it was a 4 minute stoppage time in the first half, and we got our third point. And then we only got 2 points the entire second half. Like, I mean, that was... And
one of them was...
Sure, that's nearly the score of the year. Like, I mean, if that's Maurice Fitzgerald's score from 30 years ago is still being shown. Like, and Teddy Lyle's score from yesterday could be shown for a good while to come too. It was super effort. Like,
yeah, it was a great score. I have to fly, but just one last question before I let you go. As John's uncle, what was your thoughts when John stood over that free with time almost up in Thurles yesterday?
Well, I mean, look, you'd be hoping. I'm pretty sure that, like, it was a slight aberration missing the one in Cork, and I'm sure he practiced a few frees since then. But I'm not sure that I'd have made that decision. He was only on a couple of minutes after winning the free, got hopped off the ground.
The rain and was then, spilling down.
Well, I think there was more than there was suggestions of something else went on as well while he was down, and it's kind of, I think it turned into a little bit of a chat with himself and Dermot Burns, I think, after the match. But there wasn't that, and there was no analysis, but a little bit of gamesmanship went on as well. Like, but took a bit of nerve to score, and then Limerick lined up their three pylons 15 meters back or 12 meters back from the ball. Yeah. Rule says 20. Be interesting to see how it's happened. But look, we're not going to go into referees tonight, Ron.
No, I my voice is banjaxed from shouting at them yesterday, so I mean,
3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, if you said Tip would be unbeaten after three rounds, I think you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be too many people agreeing with you, and the other way we'd have 4 points after 3 games. Yeah, you take it. On to Sunday now. You got to do your own job and let Limerick and Cork sort themselves out.
Indeed, always a pleasure, Tom. We'll see you soon.
Okay, Ron,
thanks. That's Tom McGrath joining us there with his thoughts on the football match. Disappointing year for footballers, no 2 ways about it. We wish them well because the effort they put in is massive. There's a huge game going on in Cook Park and Tipperary at the moment between St Michael's and Peak Villa to decide possibly the outcome of this year's Tipperary Southern District League. Barry Ryan is there. Barry, the latest, please.
Morning. 0-0 so far. Absolutely cracking game. Massive crowd, sun shining. At the moment, Peak Villa usually on top last 20 minutes. Two brilliant saves from Adrian Walsh. But a moment of controversy in the opening 30 seconds. Ball across the 6-yard box and a stonewall penalty for St. Michael's not given. Maybe a little bit too early in the game. Referee may be very reluctant to give it, but from my vantage point, it looks stonewall. But Peak Villa have shaded the last 20 minutes after that. So it's a cracking game. It's end-to-end so far.
if it stays like that, Peak Villa will be crowned champions. But that doesn't make matter. Like, you're in Cook Park. Michaels know they have to score.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I spoke to Mirosh Walsh in the build-up to the game, and he made a good point. He said the one thing St. Michael's won't do tonight is go chasing that goal. They'll be willing to let the game play away and just stay trust in the process. And, you know, if they do need to chase it in the last 10, but they won't come chasing it early. It's very even with two teams having spells, but Peak Villa are very dominant at the moment. Two great saves from Adrian Walsh, and, you know, you would be thinking, do we need to score? And that, you know, I know a draw will do them, but going 1-0 up will put them in a huge position.
Yeah, and I suppose that game can ebb and flow, and if Peak could get something, it will put doubts in the Saints' mind.
Yeah, I think the thing with St. Michael's now at the moment, even as I talk to you now, the ball is on the edge of St. Michael's box again. Peak Villa taking a throw. I think St. Michael's will be looking 5 or 10 minutes to half time. If they can get in, they've weathered a bit of a storm. And I say they'll say to themselves, okay, you know, now we'll have our period in the second half, and we just have to score when we get our chance. But Peak Villa will be pleased as well. They've had such good spell in the last 20 minutes. Oh, hold on, here we go. Pippy Carroll is in. Oh, great save, Adrian Walsh. Another massive chance. He was one-on-one with Adrian Walsh.
I tell you, Barry, you were almost live on air for it. So thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Warren.
Take care. That's Barry Ryan. No score in that match between St. Michael's and Peak Villa. That is all we have time for tonight. Hope you enjoyed tonight's programme. We'll be back with you next Monday night. Ian O'Connor produced. Good night and good luck.